It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Dave Anthony. Today, a criminal case 34 years in the making. Last week, a Libyan man, taken into American custody, was hauled into federal court to face charges in the downing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland, in 1988. Abu Aguila Mohammed Massoud is accused of making the bomb, putting a timer on it, before it went off inside a suitcase and blew the plane up, killing all 259 people on board. 11 more died on the ground when the fiery debris came down. The other day, we talked to Bert Ammerman, whose brother Tom was one of the passengers flying from London to New York City just 4 days before Christmas that year. And Bert had a lot to say. After all, he's the past president of a group called the Victims of Pan Am 103. He said so much we couldn't include it all in our rundown podcast, so today we let you hear all of it, like we do every weekend. Thank you, as always, for listening. And now, Bert Ammerman on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Joining us on the Fox News Rundown is Bert Ammerman. He is former president for the Victims of Pan Am Flight 103. His brother Tom was on board that plane when it exploded over Lockerbie, Scotland, December 21st, 1988. And now, nearly 34 years later, the Libyan who was accused of being a bomb maker on this flight in court in Washington to face federal charges and what will be the first trial stemming from what happened 34 years ago. Bert, first of all, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Let me ask what you feel about this case. When you heard from the Justice Department that this man was in custody and headed for a hearing in Washington on Monday, what was your thought?
Three immediate responses. Satisfaction, and then a shrugging of my shoulders again, and more important than the last part, right, what's next? This is a step forward. But we've been used to this over 34 years. When is the trial going to start? How long is it going to take? And are we going to just stay in the criminal arena, or is our government finally going to release the intelligence information they've had all these years that in all likelihood would also have involved Iran?
So you've believed for probably since the start of this that Iran was behind this along with Libya?
I would say not initially. Obviously, we were all in sort of shock. We had no idea where this was going. I had no idea I'd be doing this for 34 years. But about a couple of years in, and from that point on, there's no question in my mind that Iran was the initial involved country to do this. They wanted to do it as a revenge from the United States downing the Vincennes. Then there was an arrest taking place in October of 88 in Germany, and a fellow by the name of Dal Kamoni, a terrorist, was arrested, and he had the bombs. And the belief is firmly in intelligence information is that they passed it on to Gaddafi and said, why don't you do it in revenge for when President Reagan bombed Tripoli? And so is the criminal evidence going to lead to Gaddafi and the Libyans? Absolutely. There is not a scintilla of criminal evidence that's going to tie in Iran. There's intelligence information, and that part is of the story has got to be told. It cannot end because Gaddafi's dead now, that this guy is convicted, and then all of a sudden they say justice has been done, and they can put it in the history books. There has to be release of intelligence information with what they had on Iran.
Let's go back to that day. The plane was en route to JFK Airport in New York. Your brother Tom is on board. How did you hear the news?
I was at, I believe, a Christmas holiday party for educational administrators, and a phone call came in to the place we were at. It was my secretary telling me, call home right away. There's information that your mother and your sister-in-law need to tell you. And so I called on the phone, and they were in my mother's house saying, Tommy's been in an airplane crash. I was like, whoa, that's not good. And so I rushed over to the house, and my mom was there. And at that particular point, I don't think it registered how serious this was. And then we turned to the TV, and you saw the flames from all over Lockerbie.
Oh.
And my mother gave out a screech that I would never, ever forget. And I realized immediately this was definitely going to be a major issue and a problem for our family. And that night, I was at JFK in a state of shock, and they came around 11 p.m. and said that no one survived. And I said, I want to go to Lockerbie. And the next day, I was on a plane to Lockerbie, and I was there, I guess, close to January 2nd or 3rd until they identified my brother. And it was a war zone. And that was when my life changed forever. And that's when the lives of many families changed forever. And I've been involved in this politically for 34 years.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Obviously, there was a lot to sift through, and it's taken a long time in the investigation to figure out what happened, but it was only a couple of years after when we knew more of the details, but it wasn't that long when you did go and you met with President Bush, 41, right?
Correct. On April 3rd, 1989, myself and four other family members had a personal meeting with Bush 41 in the Oval Office for over 90 minutes. It was supposed to only be 20 minutes. There were people in there that didn't want us in there, in particular Chief of Staff John Sununu, because he knew that this was not going to be positive for that administration. But in the interview, now this is April 3rd, 1989, Bush told us directly if this was state-sponsored terrorism, that the United States would retaliate militarily.
That's if, he said. He said if it's state-sponsored, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
And the world was watching, and the world wanted to see what was the United States going to do. And the United States did nothing. And I believe that was a message that was sent out to the third world nations that the United States is soft on state-sponsored terrorism so we can continue to hit them periodically. And I do believe that maybe if we had done something then, maybe that could have prevented 9/11. And don't get me wrong, this is not partisan. Republican and Democratic administrations for the past 34 years have dropped the ball on what should have happened with Pan Am 103. The Obama administration, when they released the fellow that was found guilty, Megrahi, and was being held in the Scottish police prisons, they released him on compassionate grounds. I said at the time then, this is not compassionate grounds. You're releasing it because of oil. And 6 months later, England had to admit, yeah, we released them because of oil. So you've got Republican and Democratic administrations that I feel have never appropriately handled this situation.
When you went in to see the president at the time, it's still fresh, it's only a couple of months after the attack. Did you have confidence that something was going to happen? There would be some U.S. response?
I think so. At that particular point, it was 34 years ago. But we thought, we're brought up as Americans. There's American values. The his American virtues. His America protects its citizens. And we knew we'd have to pressure, but I had hope that if this was shown, that they would protect their American citizens. It took me a while to realize that governments are in it for power and wealth, and that's good for them. If it does help their constituents, that's a bonus, but that's not a priority. So, when I met with Bush, and I was very impressed with Bush 41. He was articulate. I do honestly believe he was sincere, but I do believe that many of his advisors said, we've got to get away from this situation, because if we do find out what really takes place, we're going to have to do something. We might have to go into Libya. We might have to go into Iran. And they didn't want to because of oil. So over time, I became a little bit more slanted towards governments and politicians helping their constituents.
But are you happy with what's going on now? That if this guy, and he's admitted in an interview in Libya years ago that he did do this, that he will at least potentially go to prison? Are you happy with that?
Happy is too strong a word. Satisfied, yes. Will he go to prison? Yes. Will he die in prison? Yes. So that part of the story will finally be confirmed. But there's the other part, and how are we going to bring that to its conclusion? And that is, what intelligence information do we have, still have, of the involvement of Iran? If that ever comes out, then I will be happy.
If that does happen, would you want to do anything in court civilly, try to take Iran to court?
Yeah, that's an issue for the families themselves to figure out. I've always been involved in the family. I wrote the family, along with two other people, the family goals back in December of 1988. And we still have lived by them today. And bottom line, it's really simple. We want to know the truth. And that's why we're doing this, for the legacy of our loved ones. So if the truth comes out with what you and I just discussed, I'm happy and I'm done and I'm finished. The part you're talking about, the civil litigation, that's what families can do and have recourse to if some of them want to. That is not critical component. And the reason I say that to you, at one time, James Kreiner was one of the attorneys with the most clients when they were suing Pan Am. And he called me on the phone and said, stop, you're hurting my case. And I said to him, Jim, you're in for the legal part. I'm not. I'm in for what's the truth. And if the truth helps and hurts the legal case, so be it. But we are not stopping because we want to know what happened to our lovers.
You talk about legacy. Tell us about your brother, Tom. I know it's been 34 years. This has been all for him, right?
Him and the other 269 people that were killed in this cowardly act. Tom was one of the nicest people that you could ever meet. He was a loving father at that time with two daughters, age 6 and 4. He loved his family. He loved his job. He just wanted to have fun, and he wanted people to be happy. And that was his core. And there were others, don't get me wrong, that were on their flight. Their relatives were saying the same thing. His life was taken too early. It was taken senselessly. How do you visualize that your loved one was in a plane at 36,000 feet, and it blew up? And we do know for a fact that one of the passengers lived the entire fall till impact on the ground of 36,000.
How do you know that?
When they did the investigation, follow-up in Scotland, they brought some forensic, I guess, scientists, and they testified. And one of them said, we do have evidence that we were able to gather how they do it, that one passenger did live the entire time. When you hear that, that puts a chill through you.
I don't revisit that. That is chilling. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and I don't revisit that because I can't. But that's why we formed this group. And think about it. 34 years later, it's still front page news. There's only a few things that people say, oh, I remember that day, if you were alive at that time. And they remember exactly where they are. And 9/11 is one of them.
Absolutely.
Pearl Harbor is one of them. And Pan Am 103 is one of them. 34 years later, 4 days before Christmas, it's going to be in a few weeks, less than 2 weeks now, 259 people were blown out of the air 4 days before Christmas. And people identified with that because the United States is a mobile country. I can't tell you how many people have stopped me over the years when I especially was giving a lot of speeches on this and say to me, my husband was on that flight 2 days before. My son came home on that flight a week ago. My wife went on that flight a week later. And then I would just say, well, I'm happy for you. You know, that's great. But in my mind, I said, boy, how lucky is my brother to have been on that flight? That part never goes away.
Well, certainly our condolences to you, Bert, for your loss. I know it's 34 years ago, but it still has to be raw in some ways. And we thank you very much for joining us. Bert Ammerman, his brother Tom, on Pan Am Flight 103. And Bert's the former president for the victims of Pan Am Flight 103. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Kilmeade. I want you to join me weekdays at 9 a.m. East as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and, of course, what you think.
Listen live or get the podcast now at BrianKilmeadeShow.com.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.